Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, go, go!
With Erlita, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erlita is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP43-9267-V1.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 21st, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Five innings pitched, seven earned runs, eight hits, one walk, and five Ks. Who is that for? It is Pablo Lopez. Oh boy, this has not been good. I focused last night on the ESPN Roundup on the changeup, and honestly, I really should have focused, I think, more on the sweeper. Both of those pitches have really let him down. If you remember Pablo Lopez before his major breakout, I would say last year with the Twins, it was more so that Pablo Lopez was adding a sweeper while on the Twins and, of course, adding extra velocity to his four-seamer. The changeup has always been there. It was really a struggle a bit in 2022 for him, and then he got it back in 2023. But even when we talked to Pablo Lopez over the winter, he always said, look, the changeup is always there, and it is, except it really hasn't this year. It's been a sub-60% strike rate for him, lower swing strike rates, the lower zone rates, and then you merge that with a sweeper that had a sub-30% ICR last year, which was excellent, and now it's at 40%, and we're talking like 22% usage, like more usage than the changeup. So combine those two things, and you're getting this inconsistency from Pablo, asking more out of the four-seamer, which honestly has done its part as best as it could. You're looking at a guy that just is not executing as he wants to. I think that Pablo Lopez is going to have his changeup back. That is the pitch that has been there for a while. The sweeper is weird. There was a little bit of a worry in spring training about its feeling, and I think that there was a little bit going on with, I believe, a nail issue. But I think that's been resolved. Maybe it hasn't. It does make me a little bit worried about Pablo. I would be lowering him into the teens or so if I saw this start. And before the list, I was really feeling confident he would bounce back. And this is such a big pendulum swing of like, oh no, maybe I should be more scared about this. So I would have like Chris Sale above him. Chris Sale would be in tier one, etc. Chris Sale was amazing. Seven innings, zero runs, five hits, zero walks, nine Ks. Like that's so clearly like, yeah, he's better than Pablo right now. I am in on buying low on Pablo. However, the sweeper is a little bit more of a concerning thing because I think the changeup should come back. Tanner Houck, what does he need to do, Nick, to be an ace? 7 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. What does he need to do? I don't know. Kind of pitch differently. It's an arsenal that to me does not speak to being like a 2.5 ERA and a 1.05 whip and a 25 to 30% K rate. I just don't believe in that. Considering that the slider is just kind of, here it is, do something with the slider. The splitter is doing so much better than last year. We're talking like a 57% strike rate versus like a 75% strike rate this year. What? Crazy. That is that going to stick? I need to look a little bit deeper into whether that splitter shape is really that much different than it was last year. I heard some things about the splitter being mislabeled this year as a splitter when it really is a changeup. Look, I'll say this about Tanner Houck, and yes, I should say it is very much different. He is getting more drop this year on that splitter, and that's great. It's the same amount of spin though; it's just a better splitter. But really, we're talking like an extra 4 inches of drop this season, which normally then associates with what do you think? Fewer strikes. But he has a 15% extra zone rate this year as he's living right at the bottom of the zone so perfectly well. It's kind of wild, like how well Tanner Houck is doing this as I look into it more. As I said, I should, and I did, just for you. Strike rate is up from 53%, yeah, 67%, much more so against lefties. Tanner Houck is living down effectively with the splitter. Is that going to stick around? I don't know. The ICR on his sinker is massively up, believe it or not. We're talking like a 32% up to about 45%. And he hasn't allowed a home run on the pitch. And he's only allowed like 5% home runs to his slider. And his splitter hasn't done it. So that's really the biggest thing. No home runs so far. The strike rate on the slider is way up. And he hasn't been burned for it. And the splitter is way more effective than it was last year. These are all things that say to me, hey, this is a guy who is squeezing the most out of his pitch. Right? Is that going to be the case moving forward? Likely not. I would be selling high on Houck because of all of this. However, if you have Houck, don't like sell him for peanuts. And I think it's one of those cases where no one's going to buy in on the trade market at where his reasonable value is, which means you just kind of hold on to it and you just smile and nod about it. Joe Ross left his game with a comebacker and it sinks. Actually, I apologize. That is Ryan Olson, 2.2 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. Took a comebacker and it stinks. I feel so bad for him. He took it to the hip. He looked like invisible pain. I would imagine he's going to be on the IL and miss a start or two. It's really unfortunate. The guy can't get a win this year. And now he gets this when he's pitching at his best. It's so stupid. Baseball is dumb. And so that stinks about Reese Olson. If only Jackson Job was healthy, he would be up, I would think. And then there's Joe Ross, who left with a lower back strain. And he had a nice two-step this week, and that's just out the window now. Tobias Myers might step in as he gets the Red Sox in Fenway. I don't really love that, but I still always say, like, hey, he has a really good four-seamer and looks like he has decent command. So maybe that does work out. You have Slay Sassone getting opened four against the Dodgers, and what do you know? It didn't go well. Shocking. More at 11. Marcus Stroman against the Mariners. 7.1 innings of 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. And that ninth inning where Clay Holmes was quote-unquote the best pitcher in baseball. No, not the case. He was just doing really well as a closer for a bit because small sample, and the small sample had the regression show up. Yeah, 4 runs for the Mariners in the ninth inning to get rid of that Stroman win. He had a 52% CSW sinker in this one. He had all the secondaries doing the things. It was great. Feel good about Stroman moving forward. Ryan Weathers should have been number 100 on the list. He had a great start against the Tigers. I pretty much just hand waved it. Didn't really want to lean into him. What does he do? Did pretty much the same thing again against the Brewers. 7 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 8 Ks. What was different? Slider and changeup were much better. 10 over 39 whiffs in this one. The 49% CSW. Last start, it was more about four seamers just going in the zone and the Tigers going, whoop, I guess this is a four seamer. I don't know what to do. And he did that again. It kind of worked, I guess. I'm not really hesitant into Ryan Weathers. I want to say high end Weathers because that's me going against the Tigers and Brewers. That feels like, yeah, blame it on them a little bit. And then you have the Arizona Diamondbacks, which is a little bit tougher next. I don't know. If you want to chase it, go ahead. Remember, the whole rule is the first start is an exception. Second start is a suggestion. The third is confirmation. Third is still the snacks. So I don't know if I want to start him against the Snakes. Okay. Ben Lively against the Mets. He got the win, 5.2 innings, 100 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. Yep, there's your good two-step for the week. He gets the Angels next. I'm glad this one worked against the Mets. He's throwing high four-seamers, and they're working, and same with sinkers, and yeah, that's cool. It's a lot of extension, and he gets a lot of extension, and it works out. Okay, cool. Sonny Gray, after two bad starts, you started him against the Orioles, right? Please tell me you did, because he got a win. 5.2 innings, 100 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. Everything is fine. Let's keep moving on with Sonny Gray. Michael Wacha might be back. He had a nice or decent start last time out. He has a good two-step this week, two starts, including the Tigers here. Got the win, 7 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. Not his best command. There was a lot of like, hey, here it is in the middle, but I got some changeups in here, so you don't really know what is coming. It's the Tigers, and it worked. So that's nice. He can do this against the Rays, we hope, but he will have to be a little bit better. You also have Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who is throwing a bit more upstairs with the four-seamer. Not like so much. But 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 8 Ks. I believe it was Jeff Passan made the point being like, yo, he had one really bad start against San Diego in Korea in the first game of the year that we all were like, yo, that doesn't matter. And he's been pretty much a stud since. And he got a win here, 100 pitches. That's nice. I like the fact that the Dodgers are honestly just like taking it slow and making sure that he goes every 6 days as opposed to every 5 days. That's good. Honestly, I think the Dodgers are doing the right thing by stretching out their players more. Because, say, for Bobby Miller, and you could say maybe Emmett Sheehan, that team that was supposed to be, like, the injured crew with, like, James Paxton and Tyler Glasnow and hopefully not Yamamoto and so on and so forth, have kind of been healthy. It's kind of cool. And I think more teams are going to embrace the six-man rotation moving forward. I that's kind of how I would fix the whole velocity injury problem. Personally, you just need more rest. Yeah, obviously, it's not everything, but rest is going to help and force it into major league rotation. So I like that they're doing that. He's been healthy. He's been good. Things are all cool with Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And we got everybody else to talk about. We got, you know, Ronaldo Lopez and Tyler McGill and all these others. We'll talk about all of that after this break.
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with a modern design that lets you go further and do more. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, complemented by an interior built with integrity. The Defender capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, its durability has been tested to the extreme. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. And robust cargo capacity means more room for your gear. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Push what's possible with a vehicle made to go further. The Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, go, go!
With Erlita, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erlita is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Everyone loves a good family mystery, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's Journey. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery mobile game that puts your detective skills to the test. Embark on a journey into a gripping narrative where intrigue, secrets, and unexpected twists await at every turn. Play as June Parker and investigate beautifully detailed scenes of the 1920s, whilst uncovering the mystery of her sister's murder. Rediscover the magic of June's childhood as you roam the vast estate filled with secrets and memories waiting to be uncovered. Gather compelling evidence and decipher clues, immersing yourself in a captivating world of discovery that will keep you hooked until the very end. Compete with friends and other players to see who can solve cases the fastest or achieve the highest scores. Are you ready to jump back in time, detectives? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Discover the secrets of the past. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
6.1 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. Who is that? It is Reynaldo Lopez, who is still killing it. So many called strikes with his four-seamer in this one. Curve and slider weren't even that amazing, and it still worked out really well. You just got to keep rolling Reynaldo. It's not going to last, in my view. I don't think he's that elite. But you know what? It's great so far, and that's pretty dang cool. Tyler McGill came back from the IL, went against Cleveland in Cleveland, which, by the way, is a massive home run issue. And he survived 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. I did not want to go for this because it felt like he's still ill, not really knowing if Tyler McGill would execute good four-seamers, execute a good splitter, do all the things. This is what we saw. We saw 3 strikeouts on splitters. That is cool. Just 4 out of 11 strikes on the splitter, but 3 were strikeouts. And when he needed it, he got it. That's fine. It's like Kodai Senga with his forkball. Sorry, the ghost fork. Ooh, this is the American spork, as Tyler McGill calls it, which I love. That is not a high strike rate pitch, that splitter for Kodai Senga. It's like 52, 54% strike rate. That's low, so half the time. If we get a 50% strike rate for Tyler McGill on the splitter, we're cool with that because it should include those whiffs. You got 4 of them here on, actually 3 of them here. We'll take it. Now, on the other side of it, we have 96 for Tyler McGill. Not 94 and change, not hovering 95. 96 definitively with elite 7.5 feet of extension. That is absurd. The effective velocity of that is like 99. And especially so if he keeps it upstairs. He's not quite doing that. And I really want it to be upstairs. And then he has look, Tyler McGill, just do the Kodai Senga thing, right? Splitters stay down. You get the four seamers up. It's like Bailey Ober and Kodai Senga, except that like not 90, 91, like Bailey Ober, actually 92 this year, fine. But at 96, can you do that? Because there's actual upside there. You don't have the command of anything yet. You know, that's really the last element. So I'm curious about Tyler McGill. I still haven't seen that command. He gets the Dodgers next. I don't think I can go in on that. But if he's going 96 and keeps that extension and then has this whiff pitch and then is able to get sliders and cutters for strikes and like doesn't just like low four-seamer it. Yeah, that works. It's a lot of ifs, but the potential is there. Logan Gilbert went against the Yankees. And I actually saw a comment for this one. I'll get to that in a second. 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? It's a poor quality start. I don't know. The comments were saying, look, the Yankees are really good and he didn't have his best stuff and it worked and he made it work out. Sure. I am hesitant often to say like he didn't have his best stuff and it still worked out because that to me just feels like it's small sample size. And honestly, 9 base runners and 3 earned runs in 6 innings is like, they were supposed to lose this game and they didn't all of a sudden in the 9th inning come back, right? Logan Gilbert wasn't pitching well. And that's kind of where I'm at. He didn't have his best stuff, but he still made it work. That's what aces do. It didn't happen last time. I'm not really confident that that's just how Logan Gilbert works, right? So I feel like I'm a little premature with the ace label. Like, you're supposed to still be good. And that's 2 starts where you got nothing. Like, this is a detrimental start for you, for Logan Gilbert. The cutter hasn't helped as much lately after I started praising it. It's what happened last year. I was like, oh my gosh, maybe Gilbert's splitter is real. And it wasn't anymore. But, I mean, look, Logan Gilbert, just show me one more start of that's actually good and we're fine. Randy Vasquez went against Atlanta in 6 innings, 3 earned runs and 10 hits, 0 walks, 2 Ks. It doesn't help you, but on the grand scheme of things, that's a very, very poor quality start, and that's something we'll accept for Vasquez. I should say an extra V for Vasquez, very, very poor quality start. But anyway, anyone who got the Randy Newman joke that he wrote the song, You've Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story, I appreciate you so much Thank you. You understand my humor just a little bit more now. Mitchell Parker against the Twins got the win. 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. There's a poor quality start. And he had a 3-pitch mix that was from 26% usage all the way to 41% with fastballs, curves, and splitters. I'll take that. He threw one slider that was just like so bad. But as long as he has a 3-pitch mix instead of being 2-pitch, that's cool with me. So Mitchell Parker has that ability. I think once the slider gets in there, they might actually be something cool. 41% fastballs, though, and they're not that great. So I feel like there's still some tweaking to be done with Mitchell Parker to make me feel confident. And again, this is not good ratios. You just got 7 Ks in a win, which is fine. It's a dusty donut. He gets the Mariners next. Hopefully the splitters work in there because generally splitters and changeups work well against the Mariners. You have Jose Berríos getting a very, very poor quality start against the White Sox. You got to win, though, so fine. The changeup did 5 over 18 whiffs, and that's cool. But yeah, so hopefully he does better against the Tigers. And then like Jose Berríos, great undulator, here he is. Taj Bradley, my gosh. I just did a video of him on YouTube. It'll be out later today. Watch this one because I feel it's so important. I get comments about Taj Bradley all the time. And this was my takeaway from Taj Bradley the first two starts of the year. And really, the first one was really good. The second one was, I think, actually a little bit better. This one on paper looked better. But like, okay, 7 innings, 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, 10 strikeouts, 22 whiffs, 36% CSW for a golden goal. Here's the thing. Taj Bradley is a general disarray. And what that means is you just don't know where this pitch is going to go every single time. He has a general intent and he's trying really hard to do that. And when he throws enough strikes and doesn't get himself in bad counts and messes things up, he's really good. He doesn't walk batters because he generally is like effectively wild. Like he throws enough strikes that like he gives in a ton with everything, but it's, man, watch the video. Seriously, you will see that this guy just does not execute a proper at bat often. Like sometimes he does. There's 1 3-pitch strikeout. Actually, one is like a mistake that he gets away with. And then it's 2 good fastballs for a strikeout. And it's like, cool, this makes it look so easy. And then he allows a 2-run shot to Rafael Devers, who understandably has been super hot, but every team has that guy. And you can't throw a pitch where you beat a guy and then throw the same thing again when it's like a Mookie Betts, like Rafael Devers. They call it the Mookie Betts rule. Like you don't throw the same pitch twice where you beat him the first time because they will adjust. And he allowed a 2-run shot on that one. So watch that video of Taj Bradley. You'll understand the whole chaos of the Taj Bradley experience. And it makes him a cherry bomb. I don't think that Taj Bradley is going to get out of being a cherry bomb. So there's that. Eric Fede against the Jays, 5 earned runs in 6 innings. He's a double bubble. I mean, I understand that like Fede pitched a little bit better than this. He had some bad defense behind him, all that stuff. But yeah, I just didn't really think that he pitched that well. Dean Kramer against the Cardinals. Unfortunately, this Vargas rule came to an end. I mean, 1 out of 9 strikes on the called strikes on the sinker after getting 6 called strikeouts, not just called strikes in general, called strikeouts on that pitch before, kind of tells you like, yeah, he's going to be volatile with this. I understand if you want to keep going against the Cry Sox next for Dean Kramer. But yeah, this is the kind of showcase of like, right, he's not that good. And he has these moments and that's fine. Dylan Cease against Atlanta. This was the second straight start that we saw him go slider heavy inside the zone. This one didn't work. 4 innings, 5 earned runs, 9 hits, 3 walks, 5 Ks. Oh boy. 7 out of 17 strikes and everything that wasn't a four seamer and a slider is not fun. That's like changeup. That's actually sweeper, curveball, and 1 cutter. I mean, Cunha took care of a sweeper. There was, he threw a lot of strikes with that slider and it's like, nope, this one didn't work either. So like Dylan Cease to me, I don't know. He still has that volatility. I really wanted to believe that him throwing lots of sliders for strikes was the answer. And it's just kind of not still. I really just feel like he needs a cutter for strikes. Like the slider should be this out of the zone pitch, this this temptation pitch, and then the four seamer hopefully stays upstairs, and the cutter just is that strike offering. But yeah, I feel like you're gonna see this volatility. I hope not. I hope it's just Atlanta being Atlanta and finally waking up. Reed Detmers still has a lot of IVB on the four seamer. It doesn't matter because you're in 0 whiffs on that four seamer on 33 throwing. Oh boy, the rest of his arsenal wasn't as well commanded. And there you go. Sorry, Detmers. It was the Astros too. You should not be rostering Detmers at the moment. And Framber Valdez against the Angels on the other side of his 5 innings, 8 earned runs, 10 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Changeups went 1 for 19 whiffs. 50% sinkers is not it either. And like what I got excited about from Valdez was in Mexico, was that the slider showed up and it was great. And he had the cutter last year that was great. Look, Framber Valdez goes sinker, changeup, curveball. Sometimes the changeup is amazing and it's great and that saves him. When it isn't there, the curveball needs to save him. It used to be the pitch of old. It's not anymore, which means sinkers are in the zone a ton. And those are susceptible to hits. And he got singled out a ton here against Angels. Like, I've always said that Framber Valdez is going to have those games. It's going to be great. He also is not going to have that plateau of an ace because it's too sinker focused, especially to right-handed batters, and opposite-handed batter sinkers are just going to get hit more than other pitches. It's just how it is. Framber Valdez, you're just going to keep starting him, and that's that. You have tomorrow's streamer rankings. Tyler Glasnow, Tarik Skubal, Cole Reagans. My gosh, it's Skubal versus Reagans on my birthday, and that's absolutely bonkers. You also have Jared Jones versus Blake Snell, which is also super fun. But anyway, Jared Jones, Freddy Peralta, Jesus Luzardo, Max Fried are all auto starts. Freddy's at the bottom of this because it's the toughest matchup against the Cubs, while Luzardo is also above him because the Brewers, and he's had a really good slider lately. Probable start here, you have Nestor Cortez, Chris Bassitt, Brian Bello, John Means, all against weak opponents, and that's pretty much like six innings should be like, yep, thumbs up, it's good to see that. Tristan McKenzie against the Mets, you have Vargas ruling this one. Justin Steele and Bryce Miller both have tough starts. It's Steele with Atlanta and Miller against the Yankees. I think you're going to go with it. Steele's command is not as pristine as it used to be, but I think you start from the IL is getting a little bit better. I think it should be okay here. And that's essentially if you have Justin Steele, you're going to do it. And Bryce Miller against the Yankees, good luck. If you don't want to do it, I get it. He's been able to survive some tough opponents. It's up to you. Questionable start here. You have Michael King, who's turned into a cherry bomb. I think he's going to be better throughout the entire year, but like right now, it's very weird. And he goes into Sin City, that is Cincinnati. I don't want to do that. The aforementioned Blake Snell had struck out 10 batters in 5 innings, 0 hits in his last AAA start, which is great. 60 pitches. And not really the greatest command, just threw enough strikes, which honestly, maybe all he needs to do, but it's 60 pitches. So that means like 70-75, which means that's probably 5 innings if you're lucky because it's Blake Snell Mr. Inefficiency. Ryan Pepe is also returning from the IL. I don't know how long he's going to go because he's not had an IL rehab start. You have Simeon Woods Richardson as our stream pick of the day against the Nationals. Tyler Anderson against the Astros. He is a Vargas rule right now, so hopefully that does work out. Andrew Heaney at Philadelphia. He's been going Blake Snell blueprint. It stumbled a bit last time against his alma mater, the Angels. And it might return against the Phillies, but that seems pretty, pretty risky. Do not start here. Hunter Brown against the Angels. I wish this would be a better one, but I mean, Hunter Brown is, I don't know right now. We don't know what we're going to get. Nick Martinez against the Padres. He had 5 shutout innings against the Dodgers. Maybe that works out here, but who knows? Jake Irvin against the Twins. He's had some weird magic and fine, but no. Kyle Gibson could go 6 innings against his alma mater. That is the Orioles. You never know with Gibson. Joey Estes is very sneaky for AL-only leagues because it's Colorado. In Rocky Road, in Oco, and Joey Estes isn't the worst strike pitcher, so that could work out. Jose Quintana is in Cleveland. It just feels like it's going to be home run city. Same with Austin Gomber, except not the same with Austin Gomber. I tape that back because Austin Gomber has gone, 4 out of his last 5 games of 1 earned run or lower. I know this is crazy, and he's not in Coors. He's in Oakland? Maybe. Probably not. Mike Clevinger against the Jays. I do not care about Michael Clevinger in any sense of it. Tywin Walker against the Rangers. Absolutely not. And Ryan Nelson against the Dodgers. Absolutely not. That is it for today. Go watch the YouTube videos. My name is Nick Pollock. May your bats be low and your strikeouts high.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleada is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleada.com. CP43926-7V1.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.